Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse number 1. To everything there is a season. Some of you guys that were in high school like in the 70s, don't start singing a song here now. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Now I want to preach to you this morning on a message that I believe will no doubt speak to every one of us from God's Word because of the thought of the message, and it's going to involve every one of us in one way or another. So I hope it can be a help to you, maybe an eye-opener, a reminder, maybe an encouragement this morning. But I want to talk to you this morning about seasons in the Christian life. Seasons in the Christian life. Let's pray. Lord, would you bless our time together this morning? Help us to evaluate where we are. And then, Lord, if it's a good season, wonderful. Help us to be grateful for that. And Lord, if it's a season that we're uncomfortable in, I pray, God, that we would learn some things that would help us to get through that season of life. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you'll do. If there's someone lost without Christ, I pray they'll be saved today. And while the message is not a gospel message necessarily, I've already given the gospel just talking about Miss Allison Hurley that accepted Christ. So, Lord, I pray that if you're working on a heart, you'll continue to prick that heart until invitation time, and I pray they'll be saved today. I pray you'll bless our bus church out in the gym and bless our little kids drive-in church in the fellowship hall. And I pray, God, that great things will happen today, that you'll do a work, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to take a poll. I want to take a poll. We're going to do just like the Democrats do. We're going to find a very liberal part of the nation. We're going to ask about 50 people in the most liberal part of the nation. And we're going to come out saying that Trump is going to lose, Biden's going to win, all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to take a sampling this morning. And while we're a small group overall with our workers out and about, I want to ask you a question. And you tell me, you could just raise your hand and tell me, what is your favorite season? How many, and I'm not talking about deer season and quail and all of the turkey and mine would be D, all of the above. I'll shoot anything that walks. And so I'll shoot at anything that walks. And I told him, so we need to have some bow competition next year. And then the next day, Brother Luke said, we might have some bow competition. So, I mean, I've killed birds with my bow, and I won't say what type of birds because game wardens could watch this video later on. But I like to bow hunt. How many of you would say that fall is your favorite season of the year? Put your hands up. Fall is your favorite season of the year. Yeah, there you go. Can I ask you a question? Put your hands down. If fall's your favorite season of the year, why in the world are you living right here in Wills Point? We were driving from Edgewood to Wills Point yesterday, coming in from Emory, Sulphur Springs area, and I told the guys, I said, when you live in this area, the only fall you get is if you drive by the tree farms. Oh, look at the beauty of the different trees at the tree farm. All right. How many of you would say, I like fall too? I haven't deer hunted at all, but I normally, this time of year, I'm hunting, and I really enjoy sitting in those trees. How many of you would say winter is your favorite? Freezing cold. Come on, Miss Smith, you're in church. Get honest, raise your hand. She hates the cold weather. If there's cold snap in July, she's so. All right, you like the winter? Raise your hand if you like the winter. The winter wonderland. Okay. All right, Brother Mark, you're from the north. Yeah, he can handle it. So, all right, several of you like the winter. How many of you, springtime is your favorite? Things are beginning to grow again. The birds are beginning to chirp again. All that. I think they chirp all year, but all right, probably the majority like spring. What about summer? You just don't want to mess with it. Stop with all the dead stuff and having to let it ride. Summertime, okay? Oh, summertime is going to be kind of equal with spring. All right, you can put your hands down. And the thing about seasons is this. If you don't like the season that you're in, give it a few days, give it a few hours, in Texas, give it a few hours, and another season will come. I got to say that I can tell you my least favorite more than my favorite, and my least favorite season is the summer. And that's just because I'm fat and out of shape, and it's hard to get through the summer. But July and August is just no fun. There's about an 8-week period where you just need to endure it to the end. The same shall see fall. I'm not a fan of the summertime. In fact, usually in August, we always had an annual family vacation. We'd try to get out of here and head north just to get kind of a week off of the calendar down here in this Texas heat. But other than that, I like all of the seasons because it's just fun, because kind of like when you get kind of tired of one season, here comes the next. And we had a pretty mild winter last year. I don't know if this weekend was any sampling. We're going to have a freezing cold winter in this year. But the thing about the seasons is that if you don't like the season, it's going to change after a while. Now, weathermen like to talk about what Mother Nature is going to do this week. But young people, I should remind you, I know the adults know this, there is no Mother Nature. And there is no Mother Earth. And like one preacher said, if the earth is your mother, I spit on your mother. There is no Mother Earth. It's all of God's creation. And so the weathermen talk about, well, Mother Nature, I tell you, Mother Nature's feisty today. But did you know that the Bible tells us that God is in control of the weather? I want you to see this. Turn to Job 37. And we're going to spend a little while reading this, because to me, I'm a weather guy, and half the guys in this church call me Finfrock. But I want you to see this. Very interesting what the Bible says about God being in control of the weather. And, I mean, detail of what God does. All right, Job chapter number 37. And we're just going to kind of work our way through this. The message is not these two chapters, but it is very interesting. And so I want you to see this. Then we'll give you the message. In Job 37 and verse 1, at this also my heart trembleth, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning. All right, is everybody with me in Job 37? His lightning under the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency. And he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. That's a great phrase. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow. I hope he says to the snow this year. I like a little bit of snow. He saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hands of every man, that all men may know his work. You know what that means? He stops the work of every man. Some of you guys work outside, and you wake up, and all of a sudden it's a foot of snow, or all of a sudden you wake up, it's pouring down rain. He sealed up your hand. He stopped you from doing that work that day because of the weather. Then the beast, verse 8, go into dens and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind. Guess what we got in the Gulf right now? In the south. Another hurricane, probably this week. So out of the south cometh the whirlwind. And cold out of the north, out of Yankee land, comes the cold. By the breath of God, frost is given. And the breadth of the waters is straightened. No wind, flattened out. Isn't this amazing how big our God is and what God does? Also, by watering, he wearieth the thick cloud. You see those clouds, and they're getting bigger, and they're getting darker, and they're getting heavier with rain, and that sucker's about to unload. The cloud is thick with rain. He scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. Now, here's a reason. Verse 13 tells you a reason why weather events happen. He causeth it to come. What is it? The drought, the rain, the fire, the hurricane, the tornado, whatever it may be. He causeth it to come, whether for correction. All right, so the way this leads us is that we can't decide, oh, we know why God did that. No, we don't. He does it. He allows it, whether for correction. God moves with purpose. Maybe he's trying to chasten people. You say, well, he's not going to chasten the whole city because of me. Have you read about Jonah and what happened in that boat to everyone because of him? And so things could happen just because God's trying to get your attention. He calls it to come, whether for correction or for his land. That's wonderful. For his land. And just waters the ground. We needed that rain this week. Or for mercy. And sometimes it's like, God, have mercy on us. We need to get rid of this heat. Or it's a drought. God, have mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind. Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and as a molten looking glass? So, young people, the next time you hear some teacher at school say Mother Nature, don't correct them publicly, but if you have an opportunity, if they're having a discussion, you can say, you know, the Bible says God is the one that sends all of the types of weather. And say, well, why would God allow this? Why would God do that? And you say, you know what? God's bigger than us, and we don't understand why God does all that he does. But the Bible makes it very, very clear that God's in charge of the weather. Look quickly at Job 38 there, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is he? Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Skip on down to verse number 22. Verse number 22. The Lord is speaking to Job and says, hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man? He's saying, you water your yard, Job, but who do you think takes care of the rest of the world, the rest of the earth, where there is no one? He says, I'm bigger than you, Job. Can you do that? Can you water the distant land where no one is? Can you take care of the earth? He says, to satisfy the purpose of that rain, to satisfy the desolate and the waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth, hath the rain a father, who hath begotten the drops of dew, out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven, who hath gendered it. The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. They say the deepest part of the deepest ocean, that the temperature's like 32 to 37 degrees, very cold. He says, canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? These are talking about stars and constellations. Pleiades was used for centuries as a calendar. Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus? May not be saying that right. It's the brightest star in the northern hemisphere. So what the Lord is trying to tell Job is, hey, if you can order the weather like I do, if you can organize the stars like I do, then you can question what I'm doing in your life. And we'll leave off reading there, but he continues to talk there about droughts and storms and snows and so forth. So it's very obvious in Scripture that God controls the weather and that God controls the seasons. The prophet Nahum said, the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Now, in our Christian life, here's the application, here's the message. In our Christian life, we're going to go through seasons. And just like we took a poll a minute ago, and how many of you like this season, and how many of you like that season? Some seasons in life we like, some seasons in life we don't like. Some we're comfortable with, and perhaps in some seasons we are miserable. I want to go through some seasons quickly here. I thought about the spring seasons in our life, and I want to compare these to the seasons that you and I enjoy or endure in this life. Maybe you're in the spring season of your life today. Springtime in our life is a time of growth. It's a time of beauty. It's a time of warmth. The temperature is just about perfect. Things seem to be just okay, just all right in our life. It's springtime. We're growing in the Lord. We're happy in the Lord. Our marriage is good. Our relationship is good. Our relationship to our kids is good. The career is going well. The finances are stable. Overall, everything in our life is what we want it to be. We're in the spring season. We're saying, man, I enjoy this. This is good. When I think of springtime in life, I think of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, that lush green grass of spring. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I hope this morning that you find yourself in the springtime of your life. I hope that all is well and that things are good and you're faithful to the Lord and you're happy in the Lord. And you look up and say, man, I'll be honest with you. Hey, life is good right now. But I must tell you, there will be other seasons. I was out and about a couple of weeks ago and I was telling someone, I said, you know, it's just my opinion, but I said, you know what? I think the perfect temperature is about 68 degrees with no wind. It's just beautiful. It's just perfect. It's there's no sweat, but you're not cold. You can still run around in a t-shirt and just work outside and mow your yard or whatever you do. But friend, listen, you know how Texas is. And it's 68 degrees one day, 98 degrees the next. And it was cold in Arkansas, and we'll talk about it in just a moment, but it was cold there one day, but the day before that it was warm. And this week in our town, it's going to be rainy and nasty. I don't like the rainy, nasty part of winter, but we need the rain, but it's going to be rainy and nasty the first part of the week, and then sunshine the second half of the week, but it's supposed to be just kind of relatively cooler than normal throughout the entire week. And somebody said, is it at wintertime starting? And I said, no, we mow our yards till Thanksgiving. It's been 90-something degrees on Thanksgiving before. That's Texas for you. But the seasons change. What about summer? In summertime, as I would relate it to our Christian life, in summertime, the heat is cranked up just a bit. Summertime in life takes us out of our comfort zone some. The heat is on. A little trouble comes into our life. The shady green pastures get a little brown. The still waters start white capping. The marriage has a little trouble. The job is not working out. The finances are tight. The church folks are on your nerves. I just put that in there for me. The church folks are on your nerves. You're being pulled in all sorts of directions. Your dreams are being erased. And a verse that reminds me of summertime in life is Psalm 63 and verse number 1. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Springtime, I love to turkey hunt in the springtime, and you get out there and it's warm and you sit down up against a tree and some green grass, and man, it's beautiful and it's great, and you're thinking it doesn't get any better than this, but next thing you know, you look up and it's July. I like to text, Brother Mark, I like to text some preacher friends up in the north in Iowa, in Illinois. I like to text them in January. And it'll say, it's 3 degrees right now in Chicago. And it'll be 70 degrees here. And I'll send them a picture of me fishing or something. And I said, 70 degrees. I did that one time to Brother Angel, and he just texted back, text me in July. When he's enjoying the better weather, and we're melting when we walk outside. And so sometimes in our life it's that springtime. Sometimes it's the shady green pastures and the still waters. And sometimes it's summertime. We can't find water and it's a dry and thirsty land and nothing is going well. And it just seems like there's problem after problem after problem. And certainly, let me say this and make this application. When we are in the middle of summertime in our life, that is when we need water the most. And the Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse number 28 The Bible says, my soul melted for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. And the word of God relates itself to water in several places. And may I say to you, when you're going through the trials of life, that's not time to start missing church. That's not time to give up your daily devotions. We need more church during the trials of life. And the devil loves to get you to think, well, you don't need church. Or here's a reason why not to go to church. And I see it all the time. And friend, listen, we need more water in the summer than we do in the spring. We need the water of the Word of God. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And friend, listen, we're having battles in life. What we need to do is come to the waters. What we need to do is get in the strengthen thou me according to thy word. I'll never understand this. No preacher, no pastor has ever understood this, other than I know your flesh and the devil, but I'll never understand why so many people back away from church during their most difficult moments in life. We need the fellowship of the brethren. We need to be fed from the Word of God. So let me encourage you. You may be in springtime right now. Things may be going okay. And you think, man, hey, it's good. But summertime's coming. And you're going to get to that place where the heat is on in your life and things are tough. You don't need less church. You need more church. You don't need to draw away from the Lord. You need to get as close to God as you have ever been. Then I think about after summertime comes fall. I think the thing that I like about fall is because it does, wasn't hot this summer, but usually it's so hot. I've always said that Labor Day week, you're going to get a cool morning. I don't care if it's 100 degrees on Labor Day. Some point that first week of September, you're going to feel some kind of cool, even if it's just for an hour. And it's like, yes, the seasons are changing. We made it through July. We made it through August. But may I say to you, after summertime comes fall. Fall, as I want to relate it this morning, fall is a time of big changes. Fall is a time of loss. We're creatures of habit, and most of us don't like change, but sometimes change comes in our life. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one or a close friend. Maybe it's the loss of a job that you thought or a career that you thought would last forever. And I know we've had some people have to walk away from certain careers and just kind of start over again because they were just hitting a wall at that place. Maybe it's a change in churches. I know some of you come out of other churches because of difficulties or maybe moving away or whatever it may be. And maybe it's a change of churches. Maybe it's a change in ministry. And some of you in this church, you've gone from one ministry to the other. Just some changes. Sometimes the fires of the summer lead to big changes in the fall. And maybe today that's where you are in life. You're in this season. And over the past several weeks or months or maybe even this year, you've seen life change for you in a big way. When I think of this time in our life, I think of John 15 that tells us that every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And sometimes we go through that time of purging and change, and God takes things out of our life and we don't understand why, but it's happened, it's done, and maybe that's where you are today in the fall. In the springtime, it's good. Man, it's good. Getting along with the spouse, kids drafting all right, bills are paid, family vacation, health is good, getting along with people, church is good, man, shady green pastures, still waters, it's wonderful. Summertime comes in our life, here we go. Man, the insurance payment went up, this broke on the car, and well, he's not acting right, or she's in some mood, and so now it's the marriage, it's not springtime, and here's the kid, and the kid's staying in trouble at school, and here's what's going on at church, and it's just, man, the heat is on, it's not as comfortable. We're not in that comfort zone. By the way, God knows how to get us out of our comfort zone. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. We go through those fiery trials and that summertime in our life, and then sometimes those fiery trials lead to big changes, and we get to the fall. And by the way, I'm going to preach on it tonight, the dangers in forcing life. We got to make a decision, and we got to make a decision right now. And you're going to look at your checkbook in a couple months and say, why in the world did we do that stupid thing? The danger with forcing life. But we go through the fall, and things change, things happen. Sometimes it's a necessity, sometimes God brings change in our life. And then sometimes those changes, they bring us to a time of winter. And what I think of when I think of winter, I think of cold, dreary days. I think of no growth. I think of short days and long nights. You talk to someone who's lost a spouse, they'll tell you, well, I had some long nights. When I think of winter time in our life, I think of just no beauty of the trees or flowers. I like it when the trees lose their leaves and the green plants begin to just kind of die away or go dormant or whatever they do, because, and I'm not trying to be funny here, but as a deer hunter, man, I liked it. I could see better where I couldn't see out of a tree. Now I can see 100, 150 yards down the field now because the leaves are gone. But I'll be honest with you, after a while, you kind of get tired of driving down the road just seeing sticks and brown grass. And that's where you are in life right now. No beauty of the trees or the flowers or the roses. I used to get my hair cut up here as a boy up here in town. There's a guy that used to cut hair. They called him Hack'em Hardy. And he'd hack 'em. But he had a sign right in front of his chair that said, take time to smell the roses. And maybe you're at that place in life right now, you say there are no roses. Just cold, fruitless days. I'm just surviving, just getting through life. My marriage is as cold as can be. I never forget preaching a message probably 18 years ago now. Is it cold in here or is it just your marriage? And I said, is it cold in here? And little old lady, Miss Nell Sawyer, said, it sure is. Right? Hey, that wasn't the message. Maybe that's your marriage today. Sometimes in life we go through these times where desire is gone, our vision is diminished, our motivation isn't there. When I think of those dreary days of winter, I think of Psalm 13 where the psalmist said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord. My God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I'm dying here. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Sometimes it's winter time. Let me ask you this question. What season are you in today? Are you in springtime? Growth? Warmth? Happiness? Beauty? It's good. By the way, when the Apostle Paul was arrested for doing nothing more than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, I believe it was King Agrippa that asked him, said, speak for yourself, Paul. We want you to tell us. He's sitting there arrested, and all he did was tell about Jesus. You know what Paul said? He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. Here's the application I want to make. I know that many of us, including me, we can think ourselves in a season we're not really in. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. The kid needs to go to a boys' home. We're headed for divorce court. We can't pay the bills and we can't this. I'm not talking about ignoring problems. But I think sometimes we sit around and we think instead of fix. We think, I don't like to talk about work. I want to work. I don't want to spend a week talking about how we're going to put the boards on the wall. I want to spend 5 minutes drawing out a plan and let's get busy with it. Let's stop talking about how miserable we are in marriage. Listen, you're not going to like this, but the preacher doesn't have your answers if you're not willing to accept any answers. Many marriages can be fixed if we just decide, I'm tired of living this way. start doing things God's way. We want somebody to give us, we've been trained in this generation, somebody needs to give us a 10 step to success in every area. And we think we just follow that with no heart, no motivation, no desire. It's just, you know, let's just fix it. If we'll do this, if you want it fixed, you'll fix it. But be sure that you're actually in a season that you're in instead of just having a bunch of drama in your life all the time. Are you in springtime? I hope you are. Are you in summer? We all go through. Are you going through the fire? We all go through that season. Are you in the fall? Are you dealing with a great change in your life right now? Maybe you're in the winter in a crowd this size. I'm sure there's some. You're kind of in the winter season. You find yourself kind of down and out and experiencing seemingly endless, dreary days. Let me remind you just some basic truth real quick here before we go home. I want to remind you that no matter what season you are in, there is hope. There is hope. Summer never lasts 52 weeks a year. Sometimes it's just 51 and a half weeks a year. It gets cold sometimes here. January and February can get quite cold. But it's not going to last forever. Let me give you quick thoughts here. Number one is this. Life's seasons are ever changing. Life's seasons are ever changing. This will give you hope because you shouldn't give up. You shouldn't just give up. You shouldn't just give up. I don't know why I'm on marriage, maybe that men's conference, but there are too many spouses. You have the mindset. This is your mindset. If somebody would just fix him, why don't you be what God wants you to be no matter what? Well, if somebody would just fix her, a husband brought a wife one time, not to my office, but a husband brought a wife, heard a preacher tell the story, to a pastor's office, sat her down and said, "Fix her." Pastor said, "Ma'am, would you leave? Mister, would you sit down? You're the one that needs fixing. And I can tell you that by your attitude towards your wife." Life seasons are ever changing to everything. There is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Let me say this one secondly. Please get this. It's quick, but life seasons are ever changing. That'll give you hope. You're going through the fires right now. It's going to get better. And while our seasons are in order like that, summer and fall and spring, and summer and fall and winter and spring, it doesn't mean I have to go through that whole process. No, it doesn't mean you have to go through the entire process. Number two is this. God is the one who changes the seasons. God is the one who changes the seasons. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. God's the one that changes the season. I'm not making this up. Daniel said it in Daniel 2 in verse number 20. Getting the right chapter here. Verse number 20, Daniel said, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons." By the way, I voted already, and I voted for Trump, and my wife already voted, and you ought to vote, and if you don't vote, keep your mouth shut about what happens. But Christians have got to get out and vote this time. But at the end of the day, the Bible says, "He, God, removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." So it helps me to know life seasons are ever changing, all right? I'm miserable. Hey, it's going to get better. God is the one who changes the seasons. So let me ask you a question. If God's the one who's changing seasons, should I be talking to Facebook or should I be talking to God? If God is the one who the Bible specifically said changes the seasons, who do you think I ought to be talking to? You have not because you ask not. Let me say this, number three. We must stay faithful in every season. We must stay faithful in every season. The Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy. And trying to encourage Timothy, and Timothy was down. It seemed like he was a little bit discouraged, a little bit down. And Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word." He said, Timothy, just keep on preaching. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, Timothy, You get up and preach in season and out of season. You preach when you want to. You preach when you don't. You preach when they like it. You preach when they don't like it. You preach when you're fruitful. You preach when you're fruitless. You preach when you want to quit. You preach when you don't want to quit. If God calls you to preach, you just get up and preach the Word of God. And I want to say to all of us as Christians, God did not call us to quit. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. It's down in the valley of trial and temptation. That's when your faith is really put to the test. And so let's remember, hey, it may be rough right now. It may be cold and dreary right now. But the Bible says life's seasons are ever changing. And God is the one who changes the seasons. So I need to get on my face before Him and say, God, I don't know what all I'm going through. I don't understand it all. I don't know what You're trying to teach me. Help me to learn what I need to learn in this situation. But God, I'm asking You to change the season in my life. And but no matter what, we have to just stay faithful through every season. Let me say this also. When you face the winter months of life, I mean, when you're to that place right now where you're like, I've got no desire. I've got, folks, I've been there. Maybe two or three times in the past 20 years, but I've been. In 2012, I took December off, not from being here and doing my job back there in the office and helping people, but in December of 2012, I took a sabbatical from preaching. I did not preach one message in 4 weeks. I know some of you are like, man, where's that at now? But I got to that place. I felt like, and I don't want to go into all what we've gone through, but for 2 years, I went through a lot of trouble. We lost some good people in our church, and I was so empty. I had the privilege of having four or five guys at that moment that were called to preach. Brother Kroll, Brother Anderson, Brother Nielsen, and others. And I said, guys, I'm going to put you down on the calendar. And I said, I'm going to be here. A lot of times I'm going to be here. If not, I'm going to be in another church just listening to the preacher. I drove to Little Rock, to Jacksonville, Arkansas, sat at the back of Brother Files' church and just listened to the preaching. And I got to that place where I said, I'm just going to shut my mouth. I just need to shut my mouth for a whole month. I'm not going to preach a message. And I didn't. There have been a couple other times where I was in the winter months where I came in and didn't want to be here. Didn't want to pastor anymore. Didn't want to pastor here anymore. Would come in, and as quick as I could get out the door. And sometimes I do that on Sunday nights. I'm tired. But, I mean, I went through those times where as quick as I could get out the door. If my truck had been started for me and put right outside that door, I would have jumped in it and said, I'm just tired. I'm tired. Nothing's going right. Can't get anything going. Everyone's on my nerves. You weren't on my nerves, but you know how that is when you're in that bad state in your life. And the people you normally get along with just fine, all of a sudden their little wisecracks are not funny. Their jokes are not funny. Listen, if you're there, when you face the winter months of life, I said it doesn't always go in order, but this part I think it does. Don't give up, because when we're sitting in winter, we know what's just around the corner. Springtime. Amen. Growth. Amen. We go through this time, we just feel dead, and many people quit when that's going on. But if we just stay at it. The Bible puts it this way in Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 11. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds has come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. So, yeah, when it's just at its worst, and it's like, man, everything in my life right now, it's just nothing's going right. You just hang on. Because springtime is just around the corner. One more. Life seasons are ever changing. God is the one who changes the seasons. Let's go to Him. We must stay faithful in every season. Don't give up. When you face the winter months, I mean the cold, dreary, dead, nothing good. Hey, don't give up, because spring is just around the corner. And here's the last one I want to give you that I love. Remember this. God does not change with the seasons. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The same God that was your good God. I just want to praise Jesus and praise report time. The same God that was your God during springtime is the same God that stood with those boys, and when they were cast into that burning, fiery furnace, He didn't save them from the furnace and the fire, but He went with them through the fire. He's still the God of summer. He's the God of fall when you're suffering loss, and my God shall still supply all your need, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's still the same God. When it's winter time and it's just, I don't know, I'm just tired, worn out, I just nothing's going well. It seems like my spouse doesn't care. My kid, I don't know, I'm just tired of my kids, and we never have any money to go to eat at a restaurant, and then it's just like at church, it's constantly something else. You need to remember that when you're going through those times, don't make an enemy out of everybody else, because it's probably you. It's probably you. But even when you're going through those times, just remember this, in that winter month, God has not changed. And the same God that we can praise in the spring is the same God we can cry out to in the winter. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth, unmoved can stand. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you, whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Maybe this morning's message is more of a Sunday night type message, and everybody's more focused and concentrated and emotional, and God gets a hold of your heart. But you know, sometimes we just need the cold, hard truth when we're half asleep and have half the world on us from the week. And I just want to ask you, what season are you in this morning? What season are you in? Good thing is, season's going to change again. And Daniel said, my God's one that changes the season, so He's the one I need to be on my face before and praying. I'm just going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. I'm not quitting on God. I'm not quitting on my spouse. I'm not quitting on my kids. I'm not quitting on me. I'm just going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. And that same God that was good God in the spring, and that same God that helped us during the trials of the summer, and that same God that comforted me during the fall, is the same God that'll take His word and strengthen me and keep me going during these winter months. And you say, well, I don't know. I told a lady, I know I need to be finished here, but I told a lady years ago, there had been a problem between her, this was a set of grandparents, and then they had some grown kids that were in the church and then some grandkids. Well, there was a big battle. A big thing blew up. It was a family thing. Big thing blew up, and it just broke this mom or this grandmother, her child and his kids and the spouse, and they all moved away, and it was big old misunderstanding, but this crowd over here handled it wrong, broke this mama's heart. And I'm going to tell you what, as a pastor, I watched her go into the winter months. She went straight from summer to winter. She was so crushed, so brokenhearted. She'd come to me and say, preacher, can I talk to you for a little while? And we would sit and talk, older lady. I'll sit and talk to a lady old enough to be my mom. And we would talk. And she, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I mean, shaking. I mean, she was in the winter months. It was just going downhill and downhill. And she said this. She called me one day and said, Pastor, I'm so brokenhearted. I just feel like right now in my life, I need to give up my junior girls class. In this phase that I'm in, I don't need to be teaching those girls. I said, do you love that class? Oh, I absolutely love that class. Do you love those girls? I absolutely love the girls. I said, you show up Sunday morning and you teach your class. You know what? God brought her through those winter months. That may have been a winter couple of years. God will bring you through, but you don't quit.